We're doing the book of Yonah. We'll do a quick overview of the story, and then we'll go into the story with more depth. Our story is about the prophet Yonah ben Amittai from the city of Jerusalem, who is sent to a Gentile city of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, to call out and encourage them to repent. Yonah runs away. He doesn't want to give over that prophecy. And he goes out to sea. There's a terrible storm at sea, and the sailors see something unusual about it. They try to save the ship, and they see they're not going to succeed. They draw lots. Whose fault is it? It must be Yonah's. Every time Yonah's name comes up, he tells them he's running away from God. In fact, it is his fault, and they throw him overboard, and then the sea settles. Yonah is swallowed by a whale. He prays from within the whale. The whale spits him out to dry land. God sends him to the city of Nineveh. And this time he goes and warns, in 40 years Nineveh will be overturned. The people take heed of his warning. They repent. And God annuls the decree. And Nineveh is not overturned. Yonah is very upset to see what's happened. And he tells God, this is why I didn't want to go. I knew this is the way it would play itself out. And then God has a tree, a kikayon tree, grow and give Yonah shade. And then at night, a worm eats at the tree, causes it to rot. And then the sun comes beating down on Yonah after the tree collapses. And Yonah wishes he were dead. And God tells him, look at you. You have such pity over this tree that gave you a little bit of shade and you didn't even work to create it. I shouldn't have any pity over the city that has so many people in it. And that's the end of the book of Yonah. So, obviously, there's much more going on here in the book of Yonah, and we will begin. So, our story begins with the widow. Eliyahu, the prophet, is sent to a widow who feeds him and her son, and her son is Yonah. Yonah is that son of the widow. He grows up without really knowing his father, Amittai. And then, Yonah dies. And his mother goes to Eliyahu, and she begs him. And Eliyahu comes and resuscitates Yonah. Yeah.
Where is this?
Where is this story?
Yeah.
In the book of Kings.
Okay.
So Yonah is a person who has already tasted death as a child. He comes back as this miracle child who's been brought back to life. He grows up only with his mother. He's super wealthy. He's brilliant. He has given a prophecy earlier for the people of Israel, and again the people of Israel repent, and then God annuls the prophecy, and the people of Israel start saying, you're a liar. Your prophecies must be false. And Yonah actually starts prophesizing at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's Sukkos. Everyone's dancing and celebrating at the temple. They're pouring, they're libating the waters, and in the middle of all this rejoicing, Yonah stands up and starts giving prophetic vision. So, God comes to Yonah. Yonah, who comes from the city of Jerusalem at this point, and his father was a prophet as well, Amittai, his father. We don't have any prophecies from him, but we have on tradition that he was a prophet, the son of a prophet. And God tells him, I want you to go to the capital of the Assyrian Empire because they've sinned, and obviously God is telling him to warn them before he destroys them. Pause. Now let's go on to a totally different story. Okay, let's just shift screens for 1 second. Minimize this window. Let's open another window. Okay, new story. The year is 1937. Young man walks by a pit, and he sees a man drowning in the pit. And the man says, "Save me, save me." And the kid looks down. And the man says, "Help me, save me, I'm drowning." And he can't get out. He's stuck in tar and he's sinking. And the kid can't decide. Does he pull him out? Does he not pull him out? What's he supposed to do? And he looks down and he asks the guy, "What's your name?" So the guy says, "Adolf." So he says, "And what's your last name?" He says, "Hitler." So the kid is standing there, there's forelocks, looking down at the guy sinking in the mud, and he can't decide. Is he supposed to extend the tree, a branch? Is he supposed to pull him out or not? What's he supposed to do? Can't decide. Pause. Minimize that screen. Now let's go back to our story. Our story is much worse. When Yonah is told to go to the city of Nineveh, it's much worse than someone being told you can rescue Adolf from that pit. Because the Holocaust that's about to happen when the Assyrian Empire will attack Israel is worse. It actually dwarfs the Holocaust we had half a century ago. Probably the worst Holocaust in Jewish history was about to happen at the hands of the Assyrian Empire. You're talking about over 11 million people, 11 million Jews. You're talking about the majority of the Jewish people being lost forever. So God comes to Yonah and says, "You know this Assyrian people, they're about to destroy Israel and bring about the worst Holocaust in world history? Go warn them, I'm about to destroy them." So what does Yonah think to himself? "Huh. Wait a second. We're onto something here, right?" So Yonah says, "What kind of leader am I? What kind of prophet would I be if I'd go warn them that God's about to destroy them? Let me not warn them. They'll be destroyed and I'll have saved all of the Jewish people." We can understand where Yonah is coming from. So Yonah figures, so long as I'm in Israel, God can give me prophecy. It's very hard to have prophecy within and not give it out. Let me run away from Israel, and God won't give me prophecy. Now, Yonah isn't certain what God wants of him. Yonah, on some level, is thinking, maybe this is all a test, and if I do this, I'll be risking my life on behalf of the Jewish people. And maybe I'll get punished for it, and maybe I won't, but how can I go and do this? Vayakom Yonah livruach Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. So Yonah runs out to the Sea of Tarshish. He's fleeing from God. He's fleeing from prophecy. Vayered Yafo. He went down to Jaffa, the port city. Vayimtzau niaba Tarshish. And a miracle happens. He comes down to Jaffa. And there's a ship. Not just any ship. This is a ship that was already 3 days' sail. It was 3 days' journey out of the port, and suddenly a wind comes in and tosses it into the port. So Yonah sees the ship coming into port and says, "Wow, you see, God's very happy with me. God made a miracle to help me get out of here." So Yonah comes to board the ship, and the captain tells him, "Look, if we're about to set sail, I still have a few empty spots. I'm waiting to fill them." Vayitin schara. So Yonah says, "I'll pay for everyone on board." Yonah is feeling guilty because he's not sure if he's going to live out this journey or not. So Yonah is willing to pay for everyone. He's not interested in the ship being a full ship because he's fully cognizant of the dangers. He's running away from God. Who knows what will happen to the ship? So he tells the captain, "I'll pay the full fare. I'll pay for everyone. Don't fill the seats. Let's go out." Vayered ba. Yonah goes down. He purposely buys a room on the bottom layer, the bottom level of the ship, so that if the ship starts sinking, he'll be the first to die. And then maybe God will spare the rest of the people. He's going out to Tarshish, out to this sea. He's running away from God. He doesn't care where he's going. You know, it's like the guy who runs into the taxi and the driver says, "Where should I go?" And he says, "Just step on it. Where are you going? I don't care. Not here. That's the first point. So that's what Yonah says. He doesn't care where he's going. He cares that he's running from God. Vahashem, whenever we see God's name with the vav inside, and God, that's an indication that God is coming with exacting justice. Hetil ruach gedola el hayam. God makes a great wind hit the sea. Vahisal gadol bayam. There was an unusual storm at sea. Vahoniach yishevan leishafer. And it seemed as though the ship would capsize. And a few months ago, I sat with an engineer, and he told me that till today, with all our technology, there are times when the waves can make a ship go up and down, and the waves, the force of the water and the gravity can cause ships to crack. He told me that that's part of a project he was once working on, to see if there's any way they can make a ship that cannot crack. But till today, he said, they haven't really figured out a way. They minimize the length of ships, and they try to guide the way a ship will go and the way a ship will contend with waves. But he said at the end of the day, they still cannot guarantee that ships won't crack, because there's so much force at play in the sea that there are still certain positions that the sea can apply pressure on a ship that they don't really have a way to withstand that pressure. So they're being tossed at sea, and it looks like the ship is going to crack. Vayir'u ha-malachim. So now, even the sailors were scared. Meaning, there are two stages in a storm. There's the stage where all the passengers are scared, and then there's the stage when the sailors get scared. So here, the sailors got scared. Vayizakui she'lelokav. So you had sailors from every country, from every religion, and they're all crying to their gods. They throw overboard all vessels so that the ship can move with the waves more easily. And this way, hopefully, it's a lighter ship. It won't crack. Yonah goes to the bottom of the ship. He's not too surprised. He thought God might want him dead. He was well aware that he might die on this journey, but he's willing to give up his life on behalf of the Jewish people. So he goes to sleep. He's got no problem. Think about that. He's about to die, and he doesn't stop and do tshuva. He doesn't stop and pray. All the pagans around him are praying, and Yonah is not. Yonah goes to sleep. Pause. Minimize this window. Let's open the next window, okay? Yom Kippur afternoon. We're standing in shul. You have the person who's shuckling over his sitter, and his mind is on Thursday night's pizza. He's shaking, but he's thinking, you know, the falafel stand, I wonder if they're going to be open in 3 hours. There's a storm brewing. You know, Putin and Obama are discussing what's going to be with Syria. But the way we view it is Lev Melachim Visarim Biyad Hashem. The hearts of leaders are in God's hands. Leaders think they're running the show, and God runs the show through the leaders. So I've gotten phone calls from students here in this country who are on student visas, who are not yet citizens. They want to get gas masks. Okay. Can't argue with the desire to get a gas mask. But I can ask, are we also davening? And when Yom Kippur afternoon comes, where are our thoughts? We have an opportunity. We're standing here and God says, I'm there with you. You know, why do we blow shofar when Yom Kippur leaves at the end of Yom Kippur? That shofar represents the idea that the Shekhinah is going out of shul, is leaving. We have one day where Satan is put to retire. Ha-Satan has the numeric value of 364. Satan has 364 days to talk. One day a year, he's not welcome in heaven. They say, we don't want to hear you. We have one day a year where God says, talk to me, no problem. Whatever Satan is, we still have to talk about that. But we have this one day, which is ours, the people of Israel, if we discuss that Rosh Hashanah is an international day, on Rosh Hashanah every nation gets judged and gets decided upon, Yom Kippur is a private day. It's God and us. God says, come talk to me. And we have this golden opportunity. I don't know what's about you, but when I stand Shmona Esrei on Yom Kippur, I don't want it to end. When I daven Shmona Esrei, I don't want the day to end. I have one opportunity, so much to talk about. Think of Jonathan Pollard, over 20 years sitting in jail. How can I stop talking? I have one day a year where I could talk and I'm going to stop? There are so many people who want to get married, people who have so many issues they need to resolve. And I have the opportunity, I'm there. And I'm going to think about pizza. There are people who want children and haven't merited to have children. There are people who are ill and need a cure. If you walk down the street to the corner for the kioskim, yeah, you'll see a sign on the side. You'll see a sign of mourning for a person named Shoham Moshe Yisrael. You guys might not know who that is, but it's a young boy, the son of one of the rabbeim here in the yeshiva, who passed away 3-4 days ago at the age of 17. There are many people who need salvation, who need a cure. And we have one day where God says, talk to me, I'm here. And how many of us go to sleep? Sometimes we walk into shul, and as we hang up our coat, we hang up our neshama with it. We're not there. We could stand Yom Kippur and wonder, why is the chazan taking so long? And why is the tefillah so boring? Wait a second, you don't have to be listening to him. Talk to God. Prayer doesn't have to be only what's written. Prayer comes from the heart. And there are a lot of people who need our prayers. So we read the book of Yonah, and we're told about this giant of Jewish history, Yonah. He's in a ship, it's about to sink, and for good reasons, he's willing to go to sleep. He's not going to pray, he's not going to bend. And there's another message here, which we'll discuss in a minute. We'll see how stubborn Yonah is. So the sailor, the captain comes to him, what's wrong with you? Why are you sleeping? And sometimes I feel like we need that as in the middle of Yom Kippur. Someone should shake us and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you sleeping? Get up, call to your God. Maybe God will have mercy on us and we won't all be lost. We're very comfortable because we're not worried about our own lives right now. And so the captain tells Yonah, I see you don't care if you die, but what about us? On Yom Kippur, a person enters Yom Kippur, he could say, I'm okay. What's wrong? I have certain things I want, but the course of nature, it should work itself out. I'm not so concerned. But what about everyone else? And so the captain comes to him and says, get up, call out. So they start saying, we have to draw lots. This is crazy. 3 days journey, and we get a wind that tosses us back to port. Now we go out again, and a crazy, we've never seen such a storm at this season, at this sea. Our sages have a tradition that there's something else going on here. Our sages tell us that every other ship was traveling calmly. It was like there was a tornado around this ship. Wherever it went, there was a tornado around it. So they said, we have to draw lots. This is crazy. What's going on here? So they draw lot number one. Comes out Yonah. They said, let's try again. Comes out Yonah. Let's try a third time. Comes out Yonah. Okay. So they're very smart and gentle. So they turn to Yonah and they say, can you tell us whose fault is this? Notice their brilliance. They don't come and say, hey buddy, look, the lots don't lie. 3 times in a row, it's you. What's going on here? They don't do that. They come gently and they say, maybe you know whose fault it is. Ma melachtecha, what's your trade? Maybe God's upset at the people of your trade. Main tavo, where are you coming from? Maybe the city you boarded ship, that city has sins that God's taken out on you. Ma altecha, what country are you from? Maybe that country God's upset at. What nationality are you? Maybe God's upset at that nationality. That's the way we work. We look for excuses. If there's trouble here in the state, it's because of our crazy politicians. If there's trouble in the family, it's because of the crazy genes. If there's everything we have an excuse for, maybe it's something all around. Tayomer alehim. Pause. We won't minimize this window, but really we should. Let's take a few steps back. What's our book talking about? We said it's talking about Yonah, the dove. Our whole book is about a dove. Wait, doves talk? Well, if whales swallow people, then doves can talk. It's more likely that the whale will swallow a dove than that the whale will swallow a person, no? Okay, so three interpretations in the whole book. We're going to work with the simple one, which we just started with. But you should be aware of two other interpretations. The second interpretation is that the whole book is a description of a dove, and a dove represents the soul, and the book is discussing the soul's journey in the world, and the challenges of the soul, the excuses the soul gives, the trials and tribulations of life, having a spiritual being within a physical body. And that's a pshat that the Gra follows through on the whole book, and he describes the whole story of the challenges of the dove. The dove comes from a place of truth and now has to contend with a world of turbulence. So that's a second pshat which we won't touch on too much. But there's a third pshat which is important to know. If you do a search online, you will see that it's happened numerous times in history, it's been recorded, where people were swallowed by whales, alive. And then they were taken out of the whale and they lived for another few days. They were very badly burnt from the acids inside the whale's stomach, but they could live for a while before they die. So the story could be the way we read it, and the way we're going to read it, that this literally happened. That's a pshat that could work, but there is a third pshat, which is important. In the books of Tere Asal, Yonah is one of the 12 short prophets. We have phenomenal stories. The prophet Hosea is told to go and marry a woman of ill repute, have children. The woman cheats on him. He knows she cheats on him. He knows he's uncertain whether the children are his own children. Think of the holiest man in the Jewish people. He's the prophet. And God says, go marry her and make her promise she'll be faithful. And you'll see she won't be. But go, have a good time. What's going on here? That's a book of prophecy. So there is a pshat that some of the commentaries say about Yonah and about the book of Hosea, and that is that the whole book is a prophetic vision. None of this actually happens. All of this is Yonah's prophetic vision, meaning the first verse says, God says to Yonah the following, colon, the rest of the book. God said to Yonah the prophecy of the rest of the book. So just you should be aware that these are three approaches to the book of Yonah. Back to our story. So Yonah says, Ivri Anochi. I'm a Jew. I fear Hashem, the God of the heavens. He created all of this, the sea and the earth. So the people got very scared. They asked him, what'd you do? He told them he's running from God. So what'd you do? So they're very decent. They ask him, okay, if you've got this all figured out, what are we supposed to do? There's a conversation missing here. Shouldn't they have asked him, what are you supposed to do? So the commentary, some commentaries say that the prophet just skipped a part of the conversation. That really the conversation happened differently. The prophet just skips that stage. They said, Yonah, so go talk to Nineveh, you're going to die. And Yonah said, no. And they said, but we're all going to die. What are you doing? Say you're going to go to Nineveh. And Yonah says, no. And they say, but what do you mean? You see, God's going to kill you. What are you doing this for? And Yonah says, I'm not going. And they say, but then Yonah, what are we supposed to do? You're risking all of our lives. And that's where this pasuk comes in. What are we supposed to do to you? What does God want from us? You're the sinner. How often do we have that? That the rest of the world knows what's right for us, but we're not willing to listen. Everyone else can tell us, you know, this is a bad idea. But we're not willing to listen. I told you the story about the student here who went to Jordan. We begged him not to go. Ran over a kid. Sat in prison. We begged him, don't go. It's a bad move. Okay? Very often people make bad moves in life. And the whole world says, don't do it. And the person says, I'm going to do it. So Yonah says, you got to throw me into the sea if you want the sea to silence from upon you. I know it's me. They say, Yonah, we don't want to kill you. Do tshuva. Yonah says, no. So the people say, okay, God, if you're not going to, he's not going to repent, and you're not going to stop, let us get back to dry land. And they try to turn the ship around, and they can't. And they're standing there with buckets taking out water, and the water keeps coming in greater quantities, and the ship is starting to sink. And now they're not talking to their pagan gods. They call out to Hashem, and they say, they say, God, what do you want us to do? We don't want to kill a person. You can't punish us. What are we supposed to do? You're cornering us, God. What are we supposed to do now? We don't want to kill him. So they put Yonah in down to his feet, and the ship, the sea goes quiet. So they're happy. Wow, miracle. They bring him back on board, and the sea goes wild. Uh-oh. They take him, they tie a rope, they put him in, and the sea keeps going wild. They put him down this time that he has to reach his navel, and then the sea calms down. They catch their breath. They wait a minute. They wait 2 minutes. The sea is calm. They pull him back on board. He gets on board and the sea goes crazy. They're not sure what to do. So they take him and they put him back in. Again, they keep a rope tied under his armpits. He goes down to his feet. His navel goes into the water and the sea is still going crazy until it's down to his neck. And then the sea calms down. They wait 5 minutes. They wait 10 minutes. They're waiting and waiting, and the sea is calm. So they pull him back on board, and the sea goes crazy. They're not sure what to do. They turn to God. They say, what are we supposed to do? We don't want him dead. Look at what pious people these Gentiles were. They take Yonah. They put him in. Down to his feet, down to his navel, down to his armpits. The sea doesn't calm down until they let go of the rope. They let go of the rope. Yonah goes sinking. The sea comes from its anger. And the sailors have tremendous awe of Hashem, the tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton is God's name, so to speak, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. They, on board that ship, every one of them grabs their foreskin and slices it off. And they say, that's it. We're not continuing this way of life. They take vows that they will convert and convert the whole family. The sea is calm. And Yonah is sinking in the water to his death. And he doesn't repent. So he's seen this great miracle. And now he's going to die. But Yonah is okay with that. He's not even paddling with his hands. He's sinking. Okay. He came with the thought, I'm going to die, but I will not bring about the greatest Holocaust in Jewish history. But God wants him to repent. But Yonah doesn't want to repent. And this is the story of our lives. We live lives where we spend many years walking into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, knowing full well there are moves we must make to move our lives forward spiritually. But worse, we're tough. We're going to show God, so to speak. We're no different than Yonah. And we have reasons, not as pious as Yonah's. But we have reasons why this is the course I'm going to take. And God, so to speak, bear with me. And we push it off. We keep going. We keep going our path. And we are no different than Yonah. He's going down. He's lost air. He's already gulping water. He's on the verge of asphyxiation. That's it. He's about to go out. So, okay, he's ready. He's fine, okay. Well, he doesn't know if he's going to heaven or the other place. And that's fine by him. And we are no different. He's going down, but God has a different plan. God has already prepared from creation this large fish that's going to swallow Yonah. So it's not over, not so fast, buddy. Okay, he's gone down, and that's the story of our lives as well. We choose certain paths, and we allow ourselves certain weaknesses, and we insist we will not make certain moves in our life, and suddenly we start seeing the prices that we pay for it. And things don't go the way we'd planned. And Yonah is swallowed by this fish, and he's standing in acid being burnt alive. Vayhi Yonah b'mei hadag shlosha yamim u'shlosha lelot. 3 days and 3 nights, he's standing in acid. This is a gibor. This is a man who's dedicated to Am Yisrael. He's not giving in. But then again, God's not giving in either. So he's standing there being burnt alive. 3 days and 3 nights. Can you imagine that? That means 3 sets of 24 hours without talking to God. What's he doing down there? Chazrin Gemara? What's he supposed to be doing? He's not davening. He's not. How many times does a person have problems? And things are really falling apart in his life, but he's not turning to God. And we have good reasons. Yonah had a better reason. But we give ourselves good excuses. And then, 3 days and 3 nights, being burnt alive in hunger, Yonah suddenly understands that God's not about to let him get away with this. He's not going to die. You know, there were a lot of people who tried to commit suicide and it just didn't work. How many times did people hang themselves and rope tore? How many times did people jump off a building only to be blown back into the building with a wind? There are all kinds of stories. Don't try this, right? There are also the stories of the guys who succeeded, right? My kids were playing with a rope around their neck this past Shabbos, and I told them about the guy in South America who was acting this past year. And in the act, they hung him. And there was supposed to be a mechanism in the rope that he could breathe. And the mechanism didn't work. And he was standing there flailing. And everyone was so impressed because he was acting like a person who was really being hung. And he did. He died. He acted exactly the way a person being hung would act. And all the actors around were watching him. And they were so impressed. They had never seen a person reenact a person being hung so well. And by the time they realized that he was dead, he was dead. So, we don't try this at home, right? Like I told my kids. You don't play games. You got to warn kids. Kids sometimes play with ropes around their neck. And they figure they could always loosen it. But then kids sometimes do it, and then there's no one there to loosen it. And by the time they figure out that they can't loosen it so easily, we shouldn't continue the sentence. But at any rate, back to our story. So we're not trying this at home, right? But there are stories like this, and people do this to themselves, where they come to realization, God's not letting this happen so fast. So Yonah has done everything. And he has 3 days which he's not really talking to God. So what is he doing? He's reevaluating. Did I make the right move? Sometimes in life we have to be thrown into a painful, pitiful, dark, quiet situation where the whole world is gone. There he is. No one knows where he is. No one's coming to get him. He's stuck in the whale. but that's where he's going to think. And as pious as he was in his original calculations, he comes to a different conclusion. Vayitpalel Yonah l'Hashem Elokav mime'ei hadaga. This time Yonah turns to Hashem, his God. The Navi is being very clear. Yonah has never turned his back on God. On the contrary, Yonah kept thinking this is what God wants. Vayomer. And then we have the whole prayer of Yonah where he says, I called out to you, Hashem, from my dire situation. You answered me from the stomachs of perdition. I yell out, you hear my voice. So that's another message in the book of Yonah. We sometimes tend to forget that God is listening. I find personally that when something goes wrong in my life, it takes me time to talk to God about it. Meaning when something goes wrong, you'd think the first reaction would be, let me talk, let me pray. I find that we have to remind ourselves that we should be talking to him about it, and it takes time till we actually get there. And Yonah is pointing out that even there, think of where he was, the bottom of the world. I mean, he's secluded from everything. Undersea, in the stomach of a whale, he yells out to Hashem, and he knows God put him there, right? That's very obvious. And he knows God's going to listen. So he's praying from the stomach of the whale. And we have to analyze his prayer. We're going to break now for 5 minutes. We'll pick up here Bezachem in 5 minutes.